This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Wow. Well, there's been a lot of talk, rhetoric, news reports on Tom Perriello's office. What's this all about? And to provide more on that, we're going to jump into the story a little bit. And she is, well, we got to get the title right. We'll say president, chairperson of the Jefferson Area Tea Party. Carol Thorpe has been kind enough to join us via telephone this afternoon. So good evening to you, Carol, and thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for your invitation. Yeah, technically I'm the chairman of the Jefferson Area Tea Party.
Okay. Works for me.
Yep.
We'll go with that. All right, Carol, well, just kind of, and this has been going back and forth, and there's been several news reports about it. And just if you would, for folks who may not be as familiar with the story, just kind of catch us up on the Tea Party's position when it comes to the protests outside of, I believe, the Glass Building and where Tom Perriello's office is located.
Yes, I'll try to give a brief history here because really you need to understand that this goes back to last year.
Oh, okay.
There have been several protests during last year that were held in the privately owned parking lot on the public private property, which is the Glass Building in which Congressman Perriello leases his office.
Okay. Okay.
In that parking lot, there were several protests. There were three that were sponsored by the Jefferson Area Tea Party last year. There were also protests, I know, by the, I've got to get all the organizations right here, Organizing for America, which is the DNC-funded group that supports Barack Obama and his policies. There was also Americans for Prosperity. They are a national group. They brought in a bus for their rally, advertised on the radio for folks to come on down and rally on their behalf. The University of Virginia College Republicans sent all of two people with four observers down there for a rally last year, and there may have been some other groups as well. Now, our contention is that the three rallies that the Jefferson Area Tea Party are responsible for and the behavior and conduct of those rallies were two rallies that we held in July and one rally that we held in November. We have not been back to that property to protest since last November when we were told by Chief Longo and the city police that no group, regardless of any political ideology, would be allowed to protest, to congregate in that private parking lot outside of Congressman Perriello's door. So we were content with that. We said, fine, you know, we would much rather prefer to be able to protest there because we think it's a uniquely strong platform to air our grievances. However, you know, if the rules are the same for everybody, we will abide by them. And that's exactly what we had done. So last November was the last time we were down there, had not been back since. Mm-hmm. Now, we received information a couple of weeks ago that the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice were combining with several different organizations to host an anti-war appropriations rally. There's a $33.5 billion bill, I believe it is, that's up to fund the Afghanistan war. We were contacted by them to say, hey, is this something, because you guys are against massive spending, that the Tea Party would be interested in joining us on? Well, we received notification the evening before. There was no time, even if I wanted to try to get, you know, to gather everybody for this, to get the word out, to run it by our committee. So I respectfully declined for that. So, but we were curious, you know, that they were going to be going down there, what this rally would entail, because we know the rules that were set out by the police department last November. So one of our members, Keith Drake, went down with his video camera because that's the only way we have to document anything, you know, so that everybody can see what's going on. They had approximately two dozen protesters rally in the parking lot. They went into the office for a time, aired their grievances, got some notes written down by one of Perriello's staffers, then came out and had a street theater, which the culmination of this, the climax of it, was an adult who was hoisting a sort of like a military attack drone that he had made, and he was chasing a child wearing a George Bush mask around the parking lot who was weaving between parked cars and the fence, chasing him as in a mock attack.
Yikes.
Now, our understanding was that one of the complaints that the landowner, Miss Murphy, had stated in the past was her concern about safety for people in the parking lot, and especially children. So we were rather surprised when no phone call was made to the police when this spread-out group of 20 people were doing this, running around, and there was a gentleman who was yelling something as part of this script. that it supposedly went by unnoticed. Now, that seemed rather odd to us because also back in September of last year, an Organizing for America rally, which had over 100 people present, chanting, yes, we can, rather loudly, that also seems to have gone unnoticed because no call to the police was made.
Mm-hmm.
However, when conservative groups have been down there, when our group has been down there, in fact, our last rally in November, we had a grand total of 40 people show up. We all gathered closely to the congressman's to his steps. No one was blocking access to parking or entrance in and out of the lot. We were met with a preemptive police presence and then told after that rally that we could not be down there again. So, and there's other documentation, too. It just seems that there's a pattern that whenever a conservative group is down there having a rally, that the police are being called. And whenever a liberal group is down there having a rally, the police are not called.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So this, to us, demonstrates, it's caused us some concern. You know, Lisa Murphy is indeed the landowner. She has the right as the property owner to allow or disallow anyone on her private property that she chooses. But we wanted to highlight the fact that by Congressman Perriello having his office on private property, he is allowing a third party, i.e. a landlord in this case, to use her private property rights to pick and choose who may and may not be on that property. But it seems that she has been doing it by ideology, or at least that's what we're left to conclude based on the collected evidence that we have. So we take that now to Congressman Perriello and say, Congressman, we have a problem. We feel that anybody who comes down here to rally should be allowed to do so unimpeded, or at least that we have equal access by both, you know, under the law and also from the landowner. And we don't believe that, first of all, this office space of Congressman Perriello's located in that retail building is really a good location for it, for all the reasons that have come up. I feel for Ms. Murphy. I know her tenants have been subject to some noise and obviously, you know, things going on down there that are not directly associated with their business. We certainly have been put upon, as have other groups, because we feel that our First Amendment right to freedom of speech and assembly has been trampled on. And there sits Congressman Perriello, who's in a great position of not having to call the police, not having to say anything with regards to opponents of his that may be in the parking lot, because it all seems to be playing out that they are being dealt with through the authorities, through Lisa Murphy. So what we would like to see is Congressman Perriello move his office to either a public location where everybody will have equal access and there's no third party that can intervene their opinion, or to a private property where the landlord agrees, just as they do for a number of things, the conditions why, you know, when a senator or a congressman goes to lease property there, that a condition could be that I realize this is what kind of comes along with a congressman or senator being, you know, in their office, that I will not, exercise any undue influence, provided there's no violent act going on, that I will let people peaceably assemble, provided, again, that they are doing so in a responsible manner.
We're talking with Carol Thorpe. And thank you. It was a substantive explanation, Carol, and I do appreciate it because that will really get folks caught up on the Tea Party's point of view. She's the chairman of the Jefferson Area Tea Party. We're talking about the protests, the Tea Party's belief and assertion that they have not been treated fairly by the landowner of the offices in which Tom Perriello's office is in. A couple questions for you, Carol. Do you think that the congressman has specifically placed his offices in a private area so that that the landowner can ideologically pick and choose, or is that reaching a little too far to assume that?
Well, you know, whether or not this was done, you know, at the time, you know, with that intention when he leased, we don't know. My understanding is that this is unfortunately becoming a more common practice than any of us would like across the country of senators and congressmen leasing their or setting up their district offices on private property. It does set up a nice, convenient situation for them. Now, I'm not saying that Congressman Perriello certainly could have foreseen the Tea Party movement. It didn't come into existence until after he took office. So we're certainly not claiming, and it would be a stretch to do so, that out of fear for Tea Partiers, he made this arrangement. We're not saying that. But the simple matter of the truth is that simple truth of the matter is that constituents traditionally go to the representative's office to petition their representative, to rally, to air grievances, and to put that office on private property is not in the best interest of the constituents. It may be a convenient location for other reasons. It may be a great financial situation for the congressman. We don't know. But we think when a representative swears to uphold the Constitution and to not only defend but champion free speech rights and assembly rights for their constituents, they have the responsibility to put their office where it should be.
Sorry about that.
I'm sorry. To put their office where there's equal access for everybody.
All right. We're talking with Carol Thorpe, chairman of the Jefferson Area Tea Party. Had a little computer explosion there, Carol.
That's okay.
All right. We got to take a brief time out here. We'll be back with more. And Gene is waiting patiently to ask a question or make a comment. We'll get to that in just a moment. But we're talking with Carol Thorpe, chairman of the Jefferson Area Tea Party, about the protest issue surrounding Congressman Tom Perriello's office. J. James in for Coy Barefoot. We'll be back tomorrow with you, our good friend, and we'll do that. And local news coming up here at the bottom of the hour at 5:30 with Jacqueline Pirorini in a 24-hour local news center. Eric Wilhelm in the Weather Center. 5:35, we'll talk with Fred Hudson of the 5th District Democrats. He's the chairman, and we'll get his perspective on the same issue we've been discussing, which is Congressman Perriello's office being located on private property, and has there been a disparity in the treatment of groups who have chosen to protest there? Carol Thorpe has been very kind to join us with her perspective and the perspective of the Jefferson Area Tea Party. She's the chairman of that organization. We appreciate it here at 5:22. So before we continue to move forward, Carol, let's go to Gene is from Albemarle, has been waiting very patiently. Gene, thanks for checking in with Charlottesville right now. You're on with Carol Thorpe.
Hi, Jay and Ms. Thorpe. I don't really have a direct question. I just have a couple of comments I wanted to share. The first one is, it sounds to me, both from Ms. Thorpe's description of that street theater rally, and from other descriptions of that particular rally that I've read and heard, that those people were trespassing. And I'm wondering, first of all, whether the unequal treatment that the Tea Party feels they've gotten is really from Representative Perriello. Is it from the landlord? Is it from the police? I'm not sure that the representative has anything to do with who, when, or how the police are alerted, and how the police enforce that trespassing rule. So that was my first comment. My second comment is that I still don't understand what exactly they're after in terms of should all of our public representatives, our elected representatives, have their district offices on public property. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean an RV in the public park? Does that mean that there should be government buildings allotted for our elected representatives? Doesn't that mean larger government bureaucracy, which my understanding is that the Tea Party is opposed to that kind of concept? And my third comment, and then I'll hang up and listen off the air, off the phone, is that this continued supposed hoopla about what I think is a non-issue really is not looking good for the Tea Party. It makes them look like they are just trying to raise a controversy to make Perriello look bad. If they want to do that, there's certainly plenty of philosophical and political issues that they can and have taken issue with him on before. I think this is just a whole lot of sound and fury. It signifies nothing. I don't believe it's a controversy, and I think they're just trying to do what they can to make people look negatively at the representatives. And I'll hang up and listen to your comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Gene. All right, Carol, let me let you go ahead and respond to that.
Okay, well, first, let me thank Jean for her call and her comments. Obviously, Jay, if you can be of a little assistance here in helping to frame it, because there was a lot that she brought up, and I was trying to take notes to keep up with her points. First of all, with regards to the rally that happened on May 19th, which was the Charlottesville Center for Peace and Justice, the one with the street theater, yes, indeed, they were trespassing. I can tell you that I was contacted by a member of that organization, as I said in my my setup from earlier, that to ask the Tea Party if we were interested in participating. I'd replied that we did not have enough time to process that request. However, I did in that email, and I didn't mention this earlier because it's trying to cover everything.
Mm-hmm.
I told them in a spirit of, you know, trying to be a good neighbor to them, say, hey, you know, we were down there last year. The last time we were down there was in November, and we haven't been back since because we were told that, you know, now Miss Murphy is going to, you know, call the police in, as she has done, that anybody down there, any group protesting in that lot, will be considered trespassing, you know, could be subject for arrest, and here were the guidelines that we were given. I spelled all of those out in that email in response to that person, and in fact later got a response from David Swanson himself, so I know that he not only confirmed receipt of the details that I sent him, but also that he said we were aware of the situation. Now, if they were aware of the situation, they weren't on the sidewalk, they went ahead and did what they wanted to do anyway, which is their prerogative. That's fine, but just to say that they knew what the rules were before they went down there on May 19th. Our complaint is that Congressman Perriello, by maintaining his office on that private property, which is also a retail situation, okay, by him doing that, he has set up and enables this situation to continue. You know, none of us are in a position to resolve it except for him. It is the presence of his office there that ultimately is the key to all of this. If he's not in that complex, if he is on some sort of public property, we're not down at the glass building. The landowner there has no issue with us, and we have no issue with her. So our complaint is not with the police. I think the police have been very professional in all of this, and that's fine. Ms. Murphy, in terms of being the landowner, she is well within her legal rights to do exactly what she's been doing. You know, it's unfortunate that it appears there's a pattern of ideological pick and choose here, and that's only important to the argument to try to demonstrate to folks that because we feel there has been a double standard, even if it's legal, it's really not terribly ethical, and that's what we're trying to point out, that it's unfair that we should be held to one standard and that another organization should be held to another. Her second question, what is public property? I mean, obviously an RV is not what we're looking for here. You know, could a congressman's office be set up in the county courthouse, in City Hall? I don't know what all the legal possibilities are. Could it be on a private property where it's a standalone house? I mean, a lot of lawyers, for example, have standalone buildings that don't have any sort of retail presence around them. You know, so and if a landlord in that case would say, okay, congressman, if you want to rent the house and rent the land, you know, again, as long as nobody is trashing the property or causing a tremendous, you know, disturbance, okay, you know, if you're going to have people come at your door, that's all right. We're not going to have a problem with that. So there are a number of avenues that could be examined. Thirdly, as far as the hoopla, you know, I consider issues of free speech, First Amendment rights to assemble, to petition, I consider those sacred, and I think they're worth standing up and fighting for. You know, we're having this conversation. This is why we went to the Rutherford Institute to get advice, you know, to find out, you know, is there a problem here? You know, this is why we're having the public conversation, but obviously we have a concern that something isn't right here. We are searching for some sort of resolution that will be the best outcome for everybody. But I think it's also unfair to ask the Jefferson Area Tea Party and other conservative groups, for lack of a better term, to just suck it up. You know what I mean? I mean, mm-hmm. It's not fair for us to have to go by one set of standards in petitioning our congressmen while folks of other ideologies are accorded a different set of rules.
Carol, we've run out of time. Obviously, we could do this all day, but I
want to. I have been doing it all day. This is
yeah,
my life for the last
exactly.
week.
And folks should remember, even though you're the chairman of the Jefferson Area Tea Party, you are a mom, you're a wife, you have things to do. So
I get paid the same this week as I got paid last week, which is absolutely nothing. I love volunteering for this organization and the principles it stands for. But as Jay said, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I got a special needs son. I've got a lot of other things to do in addition to this. But I'm thrilled to come on your show today. Thank you for the opportunity, and I'll be happy to come back anytime that I can be of assistance.
All right, Carol. Appreciate the time this afternoon. Take care. Okay.
Thanks, Jay.
All right. That's Carol Thorpe from the Jefferson Area Tea Party. We're late for the news break, but I'll do this. Bill, thanks for holding, man. I wasn't able to hold her longer. Did you want to make a comment before we went to our news break, or did you have a question for Carol?
Well, Jay, I just wonder if the government gives a congressman a stipend for his office expenses, and that being rent and so forth, and if the government's paying for it, the taxpayers are paying for it, then I think very definitely ought to try and find space that is accessible. Mm-hmm. If spending his own nickel, then I don't know that we can tell him where to go, and I certainly don't want to give him any more money, any more of the taxpayers' money, to find an office on public space or have it become a public expense. Okay. I don't know the answer to that. It would be a good question for some of the other listeners to say perhaps they do. Does he receive an office stipend?
All right, Bill, it's an excellent question. We'll look into it, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. All right.
Goodbye.
All right, that's Bill on 3532. Time for us to check in with the 24-hour local news center next.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.